Welcome in to the weekend watch list. How's everybody doing? Hopefully you are doing well. Happy Friday. We are getting dangerously close to that holiday season. Maybe you have a holiday party tonight. If you do for your work, do not make an ass of yourself. Do that after the party. Keep yourself at a minimum of booze. I did that last year at a former job where we were at a brewery for dinner and I drank way too many craft brews and then went out with everybody and proceeded to put my arm around my CMO and be like, so you're not firing me, right? So don't do that. Like, avoid that. Like, I woke up in my hotel bed, had no idea how I got there, and was like, all right, fuck, this is not great. So trust me, do not black out with your coworkers, all right? Like, I have a holiday party next week. Granted, it's like, thankfully, the Menominee Falls area, so it's not necessarily, and I just don't think I can do a lot of damage. And I've learned my lesson. So I am now helping you out with some free holiday party advice. So enjoy that. If it's a holiday party with your friends, awesome. Have a great time. Hopefully that is a good one. And yeah, let's get into it. It's a decent week. We have the first annual weekend watch list bowl preview. We'll probably call it the Snowtap WI bowl preview. We'll preview the first week of games, just tell you where I'm leaning, how I'm feeling about them. I, now being a full-fledged gambler, will have your sort of what I'm thinking from a gambling perspective. Really won't necessarily talk too in-depth about the games. Maybe a little more next week when we get into more of the nitty-gritty from a bowl perspective. And also, obviously, 2 weeks from now when we're talking about the college football playoff and all of that goes in there. So excited to get going. But before we talk about the bowls, we got to talk about everything else going on. Bowl preview be at the end of the show, probably around the 20-minute mark, if that's what you're looking for. So that'll probably be closer to 20, 25 minutes, and we'll go from there. All right. So to start, we do always start local. That's how the weekend watch list works. We start local. We go national. We do not have a lot of local sports this week, mostly because the Badgers and Marquette are dealing with finals. Marquette currently dealing with finals. The Badgers, I believe, start finals this week. So good luck to those who go to school at Marquette in Wisconsin that are listeners of the tap. But the Packers and Bears is the highlight of the weekend. I think everybody is looking forward to it. I think the fact that the Packers won in convincing fashion last week is getting everybody's hopes kind of up. I'd be curious to hear how many people, what the confidence level of Packer fans, you know, is during this game. Or is it a 7? Is it a 3? Is it a 0? How do people feel about this? I don't know how much you're invested in the Chicago Bears and whether they're overrated or not. A lot of people have pointed out they are historically a very good defense and that this defense is very tough. They've been tough against quarterbacks. I will ask you, which, other than Tom Brady, who's your favorite quarterback the Bears have faced? The Bears have really not faced many good quarterbacks this year. Jared Goff, yes, is a good quarterback, but Jared Goff was colder than anything I've ever seen. The guy was freezing. He didn't handle the bear weather well. Aaron Rodgers will have nothing to do with that. Granted, it's going to be kind of balmy out there. I think it's going to be more like 40 degrees coming in on Sunday. Be a beautiful day for football, perfect football weather. And I think Rodgers and the Packers can win this game. And I think the way to do it is you're going to have to keep it short. You cannot do these long plays. It's going to have to be very quick. Rodgers should not be taking more than a 5-step drop at most. He's going to have to do some stuff with his legs. He rushed for 44 yards last week. I think if the Packers win, Rodgers rushes for around anywhere from 35 to 55 yards. I think you definitely look at that final half of the game against the Bears earlier this year and see what you can pick from that to make it happen, because that's when the Bears were just getting going and the Packers figured something out that was able to unlock themselves against that Bears defense. I think Matt Nagy is very good at scripting the first 15 plays, so don't be surprised if the Packers get down early, because I think you'll see that. But once Trubisky gets sort of in the mix, he tends to struggle, and we've seen balls fly at him. Hopefully Rashad Beilein can come back. He's dealing with a personal issue. We've seen that from other things. It's weird that Breland, it would be anything that was negative, because Breland obviously had a great Sunday game, so hopefully Breland can come back. Mike Pettine has expressed that he's a professional. He can be right in the mix. Hopefully we see Breland at practice today, and that can sort of launch into the weekend. The Packers probably without Brian Bulaga. Lane Taylor did fully practice. I'm almost wondering if, you know, Bulaga can't go, would they think about bringing Justin McCray to right tackle and putting Lucas Patrick in as a right guard? I just think Lucas Patrick did so well for Lane Taylor last week that he deserved another shot. And maybe I'm part of the Lucas Patrick fan club. He's definitely one of the few Packers where I have a more of an affinity for him than others. Lucas Patrick, because he's kind of a goof. Like, he has this mustache and he just kind of a dork, but dude fucking is awesome. Like, great player. And I also love Tyler Lancaster. I don't know, the guy behind me last week at Lambeau was like, Lancaster! It was fun. He had to be there. But no, I like the Packers this game. I think they win 24-20. I think the Bears are screaming for a letdown. I think Trubisky also will turn the ball over two or three times, and that will lead to short fields, which Aaron Rodgers will take advantage of. So the Packers get the job done. They keep their playoff hopes alive. The other local game is tonight. The Bucks play the Cavs. Round two for those two teams. They played on Monday night. The Bucks blew them out, beat them by 16 points. The Cavs lost Tristan Thompson in that game to injury. Tristan will be out for 2 to 4 weeks, so you'll see more of Larry Nance. They really have no one protecting the rim. That screams, uh-oh, SpaghettiOs for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis should play. He did not play in that Monday game. This will be the Bucks' fifth and eight, which isn't great. They finally get some time off. They get a couple days off before they play Detroit on Monday. So they get a full weekend off, which will be nice. Bucks definitely need that break before they play play a bunch of games in the next 2 weeks. So they get a little time off. But yeah, this schedule's tough, and the Bucks need to take advantage of bad teams. They need to beat the Cavs down tonight. This should be a win for Milwaukee. There's no excuses. You'd hate to go 1-2 this week after you went 2-1 in a pretty hard week, and in a pretty easy week, going 1-2 would be disappointing to say the least. Go 2-1, handle your business. Bucks have not lost consecutive games this year, so if you're looking at that trend, it should be a good night for Milwaukee. Don't let Cleveland breathe. I mean, that we saw that on Monday night. They beat Cleveland's ass from the start of the quarter. Start of the game, they need to do that again. Bucks and slow starts have been a bad thing. That's been a bugaboo for this Bucks team. Hopefully they can cure that and have a nice weekend off. Moving to national and the NFL. Obviously, with all the playoff races and the things that matter to the Packers, we once upon a time had a Packer playoff index on snowtapwi.com. It's a website, but not doing that this week. I just am like, I'm not going to jinx it, because the Packers lost the fucking Cardinals when that happened. So Chris Meyer, I don't know if anybody gets like this, not to go on a tangent, and I don't have really time to go on a tangent because we have so much to talk about, but Does anyone get nervous when you see like a broadcaster who called a loss of yours already this year? Like Chris Meyer, that always would happen with me with Marquette. Like whenever Dickie Simpkins is in the building, I'm like, fuck, man, it's going to be a close game against a bad opponent because Dickie Simpkins is in the mix. I don't know why. Am I just a weird superstitious fuck? Or do people like get down with that? Hit me up. SnowtapWI, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. Woof. All right, moving on to the Vikings and Dolphins. So that's on CBS. You can watch that, flip between Packers and Bears. The Dolphins have been a historically bad road team. They are 1-5. They have not been that good this year, but they do have a little bit of confidence, a little pep in the step. You could argue it's a letdown from the Miami Miracle. Everyone will be talking about Ian Eagle, who had the call of the Miami Miracle, will be in the building with the beard, Dan Fouts, at US Bank Stadium. The Vikings have not been as tough at home. They've lost to the Bills, and I think that is a sort of a moniker, right? Like, they lost to the Bills at home, and they lost badly to the Bills at home. This Dolphins defense is not good against the run, and they're going to look to establish the run. That makes me a little nervous that Dalvin Cook should go off in this game. I think 8.5 points, though, for the Minnesota Vikings is way too fucking much. There is no chance the Vikings should be 8.5 points better than the Dolphins. I think that line should be around 6. I would load up on the Dolphins again. I loaded up the Dolphins last week. I don't know if I'd make a money line bet on that just because they're on the road. They're a 1-5 team on the road this year. So hopefully the Dolphins could help the Packers out. If they do, I mean, panic's going to really set in at the Eden Prairie offices. Moving to the Eagles and Rams. So are the Eagles done? Is this their funeral? Nick Foles back in the mix to try to save the season again for the Eagles. Foles takes over after Carson Wentz has a fracture in his back that the Eagles apparently did not tell him. And then we're like, oh, hey, by the way, your back's broken. No big deal, but kind of big deal. Your back is completely shredded. So that's what we're dealing with. But yeah, so Nick Foles in the mix. He goes up against a Rams defense and a Rams team that's sort of looking for revenge, not necessarily from the Eagles, but just for last week, and sort of they got embarrassed on national TV. They have the spotlight again on them in the national landscape. They will look to respond in a major way. I love the Rams in this game. I can't love the Rams more. I don't necessarily have the spread on me, but I'd probably take the Rams anywhere. I think the highest I would go is 10. I think the Rams dominate here. The Eagles defense is being held together by strings. I think Jared Goff goes off in this game. I think he has a major day. I love any sort of prop with Jared Goff over 285 yards. I think that is a given. I think Goff has himself a great day. I understand that he has not been that good with Cooper Kupp out, but the teams they've faced have not been, you know, like easy. The Eagles gave up 455 fucking yards to Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, who's not a top level quarterback from a passing perspective. So I really like the Rams in this game. I think the Eagles are heading to their funeral. Another team that could be in their funeral is the Panthers. Panthers are playing the Saints at home. Saints are about a 5.5 to 6 point favorite. Interesting game, to say the least. That is the Monday night game. Again, the Panthers would be eliminated if they lose. Do or die Monday night game. Part of me is wondering if it's too many points, but also another part of me is thinking the Saints could win this game pretty easily. I'm just not sure Cam Newton is healthy, and the Saints are very good against the run. The underrated part of the New Orleans Saints has been the ability to stop the run, Christian McCaffrey, and I do really think that the Saints can slow him down defensively. They slow down Todd Gurley. They are very good against the run, and they've been good against pass catchers out of the backfield as well. So the Saints definitely have an advantage there. I think they can slow down McCaffrey, and because of Newton's bum shoulder, which he's not saying is hurt, he's not saying it's healthy, I think that makes a real issue for the Carolina Panthers and could really see them struggle in this game against the Saints team that their defense has been improving. I know that people have been saying, well, they lost to the Cowboys. But if you really look into the numbers and look at the Saints defense over the last few weeks, they've been a lot better. And so, yes, the offense does need to get going, but this could be the perfect team to get right against. The Panthers defense has been kind of trending downwards in the last few weeks, and Drew Brees and company could really take advantage of that. I think, and I at first was like, well, that's too many points for a road dog, but I kind of like the Saints in this game by a touchdown or more. I think they can get it done. And yes, look, I know that some of this is biased because I want this stuff to happen, but truth be told, I think the Dolphins will actually beat the Vikings? No, I just think it'll be a close game. That's that. I do think the Rams and I do think the Saints can beat these teams. I know that helps the Packers, but truthfully, I do think those two teams can win. Moving to the NBA, one game to keep an eye on this weekend is the Pacers and the Sixers. So that is tonight on ESPN, 6:30 start. Interesting. ESPN is doing the 6:30 start, which is great. I love that. That actually is kind of cool. They didn't do have a 9 o'clock start time for the Denver Nuggets instead of a 9:30. Maybe that was a Denver saying, hey, look, we don't really want to have games at 8:30. Maybe Bucks should consider that as well for an 8 o'clock start. But yeah, Pacers, Sixers, fascinating matchup. Pacers have won 5 straight. Victor Oladipo is back in the mix. Sixers, I do not know if Jimmy Butler will be playing in this game. He had a groin injury. The Embiid should eat against Miles Turner. Could be a potential playoff matchup. Definitely one to watch. If the Bucks were to lose tonight, not that I hope that, and the Pacers win, the Pacers would then move into the Central Division lead. Early to talk about that, but that would be a big old yikes. And I'm sure Bucks Twitter would handle that with dignity and class like they always do. Moving to college basketball, I got 2 really good games. There are a few actually decently good college basketball games, but ones that are worth watching, worth sitting down for. You have the 11 a.m. start between Villanova and Kansas. Villanova has not been the team that they've been the last few years. They have some drama with a 5-star recruit who was going to go to Arizona. Now he's at Villanova, and he basically was like, I don't want to be here. Kind of pulled the Eric Bledsoe, and now everybody's reacting to it. We'll see if the squeaky wheel gets paid off tonight or tomorrow at the Fog. Kansas has been an interesting team. I'm not saying that Villanova will beat Kansas inside the Fog, but I'm also not saying it will be a blowout because Kansas has struggled this year. They're out. Azubuike is out with an injury, and they've just sort of played teams closer than they should have. Remember, they hung on to beat Stanford in overtime. Stanford's not a good team. They hung on to beat New Mexico State last week in a neutral site game. So I like Villanova to cover in this game. I think Villanova can keep it close. I don't think they can win because it's really hard to win inside Fog Allen. Tough place to play. Love that these two teams are playing each other in the actual arena of the home team. That's great. No neutral site. You gotta love that. You also have to love the same thing happening with Gonzaga, North Carolina that night inside the Dean Dome. The Zags taking on the Heels. Gonzaga coming off a tough loss to Tennessee on Sunday. They look to bounce back against the Carolina team. I think we're still having a lot of questions about. Carolina really hasn't sort of shown up yet. You know, Nazir Little, good player, but we really have not seen the Tar Heels play their best ball against a good team. I think I like Gonzaga in that game. I think Rory Hachimura and Brandon Cook and other guys can really get it done for the Zags in this one. Now on to the bowl preview. So Saturday is a fucking awesome day, you guys. Like, we have 5 bowl games, right? We have 5 bowl games. We also have 2 NFL games. We have college basketball. We have the NBA. You can gamble on 4 different sports. It is a paradise. And yet, I will be out and about doing things like eating chili with my girlfriend's family, which I love to do. Then going mattress shopping. And then maybe going to Aldi if we're feeling dangerous. So while I appreciate that, would I love nothing more than to just drink beers and gamble all day? Yeah, probably. But that's okay. I'll make sure all my bets are in. You don't have to worry about me, guys. So we're going to talk about these bowl games. We're also going to talk about the games later in the week, as there are multiple bowl games to pay attention to, heading you up to Thursday. And then we next weekend, watch us, we will do the exact same thing. And also, too, why we didn't talk about the Saturday NFL games, they don't really affect the Packers. Usually what we try to do is when we're talking NFL games to watch, we try to look at games that would affect the Packers. Obviously, Steelers-Patriots is another one we didn't mention. Could be worth one, but, you know, we're trying to spread it out a little bit. But, yes, it's great to have Saturday NFL games. All right, so Tulane and Louisiana. This game is probably the one where I do not have the biggest lean. This is the first bay. This is the Cure Bowl. It's down in Orlando to lead us off on CBS Sports Network. I would lean the Green Wave only for this reason. I mean, you have an American Conference team against a Sun Belt team. Louisiana's all right. They're not great. I would think Tulane's a better team. I think the Green Wave win this game. They get the job done, and I would take them with the points. They are favored, I think, by about 3.5. Then you have Utah State, North Texas. Utah State's the first team of the day where they're using an interim coach. Matt Wells now is at Texas Tech. So they will be without their head coach. That definitely affects the team. North Texas, it's New Mexico Bowl. North Texas, I think, will win. Might not win this game, but they were about a 7.5, 8.5 point dog. I love the mean green in this one. I think that's a definite one to take advantage of. I also like the under. So the over-under is at 68. I mean, has Vegas watched these two teams of late? Like, Utah State doesn't put up a ton of points. North Texas, while they have a Mason Fine is a great quarterback and a guy who's going to get a lot of buzz next year for the draft. He's not going to their offense has kind of slowed down in the last couple weeks. I love the under in that one as well. I think that's a good bet. But yeah, I'd lean North Texas on that one. So Fresno State, Arizona State, kind of the premier bowl game, the Las Vegas Bowl. That's on ABC, middle of the day. I like Fresno a lot in this one. Fresno has been playing good football. They have something to play for, kind of their last hurrah. Arizona State will be without Keneal Henry. He is their top wide receiver. He's their top player. He will be missing the game to focus on the NFL draft. I think that will affect Arizona State's offense greatly. We could see the Sun Devils really struggling there. Fresno only a 5-point favorite. I like Fresno in that game. Also, too, they've played in Vegas before. They're used to sort of the Vegas elements, I will say. I'm not saying like Arizona State's going to buck wild. I would not want to get in trouble with Uncle Herm. But at the same time, they know that the temptations, they've played UNLV, they're used to it. This isn't a new sort of experience for them. I always do kind of look at that with bowl games. If there's any familiarity with stadiums or elements or places to play, I do think Fresno has that. I like the Bulldogs in this game. Moving to the Raycom Camellia Bowl. That is Georgia Southern and Eastern Michigan. Love EMU in this. EMU is a 3-point dog. So again, I'm hating on the Sun Belt hard as I look at these picks. But EMU has been hot as shit. They got hot as shit in 2018. They're 2-4 at one point of this season, and they have won 5 of their last 6 games. Their only loss coming to Army. They've won in pretty convincing fashion. Georgia Southern probably will have a little bit more of a home crowd, being that this game's in Mobile, Alabama. The travel from Statesboro, Georgia isn't much. So I do consider that, but I like EMU in this. I think 3 points is nice. You could sprinkle the money line too on that. To wrap up the night on Saturday, you have Middle Tennessee State against Appalachian State. Second game where we have a coach not there. Scott Satterfield took the job at Louisville. App State has hired a new coach, Elijah Drinkfield. It's Drinkwise, something like that. They call him Drink. He's the OC at, or it's Elijah. It's not Elijah. It's Elijah. Very Christian name. But yes, he is he was the NC State OC. He's now taking over at App State. But he will not be coaching this game. They will be on an interim basis. So you do have maybe an idea of these guys want to show out. You do have Brett Stock still and his father. Middle Tennessee State's not been bad. They've been hot of late. They lost two of their last 3. They lost to UAB in the CAUSA championship game. But I still like Middle Tennessee State in this game. They're a 6.5-point dog. I just don't get that with the idea of App State loses their head coach. I just think that matters, and I really do. And so, yeah, their last 2 losses, guys, have been to Kentucky by only 11 points, and they lost to UAB by 2 points. So, like, I understand that App State's 10-2. I understand that they've beat teams pretty handily, but you gotta consider the whole coaching thing and really look at that. And yeah, App State's only 2 losses to Georgia Southern when their quarterback went out and to Penn State. I mean, not been bad losses by any means, but yeah, I think App State could win this game, but I definitely like Middle Tennessee State with the points. All right, the other games of the bowl week. This is Tuesday night. Shout out to our boy Nolan Murphy. If you're going to the Boca Bowl, make sure you are checking in with him. He'll be out and about doing things. Bowl games featuring two conference championship winners, UAB, Northern Illinois. I love UAB. Love, love, love them. UAB is playing great, great football. They have been a juggernaut and a wagon this year in the CUSA. Northern Illinois they are playing all right, but you got to remember that they wouldn't be in this game had they lost to Buffalo. They had an upset win against the Buffalo. Can the Huskies do it again? I know the Huskies prepare well and they have a good defense, but I just love the Blazers in this one. San Diego State, Ohio, the Frisco Bowl the next night. That is Wednesday. Give me Ohio. They are the favorite. They are a 3-point favorite. I like Ohio a lot in this. They've been hot recently. They've won four of their last five. A close loss to Miami was the only thing that hindered them. They blew out Buffalo 52-17 and Akron 49-28. Ohio's been winning big the last few weeks. San Diego State also is struggling. They've lost four of their last five. It's not been good for the Aztecs. Their only win against lowly New Mexico, and that wasn't even that convincing. They only won by 8 in that one. I love the Ohio Bobcats. I think they get it done in the Frisco Bowl. Then you have Marshall, South Florida. So interesting game. This is the Gasparilla Bad Boys Bowl. This is in at Raymond James Stadium. So it's at South Florida's home. But South Florida has lost five straight games. Right now, I'm leaning on Marshall. But if the spread gets big, if it gets like 4.5, it's right now at 2.5. If it gets past the field goal, I think I have to lock in South Florida. Because are you really going to bet against the team? Yes, they've lost five straight games, but they're at home. They'll have the home field. They don't want to get embarrassed at home. Would they really lose to Marshall? Who's, again, this the same conversation we had at the start of this. You have a AAC team against the CUSA team. I don't know. So I'm going to lean Marshall at this point. But if you talk to me on Thursday and are like, hey, Charlie, where are you leaning? I may tell you I went to South Florida. That one, to me, like the Tulane-Louisiana game, is probably the toughest of the bowls. So enjoy it. We will do our quest to go undefeated. I'm sure I'll lose that in the first game, but we can only try. All right, guys, we'll be back next week with another edition of Weekend Watchlist, a longer one, talking about the Bulls. Bunch of games next week. We have a big-ass schedule for next week, and I'm really excited for that one. And we'll talk about what the holiday schedule looks like for us at the Snowtap offices, and also look ahead to whatever is coming about. Very excited for that Weekend Watchlist. All right, take care, guys. Have yourself a great weekend. Remember, don't get too drunk at your holiday party for your job. All right, take care. See you.